Thank you, Brooklyn. That was wonderful. And thanks, Lori, for helping her. So there is a story that was told once about a man who was commissioned to paint a picture of the prodigal son. And he went to his work fervently, worked really hard, working hard to produce a picture that was worthy of telling the story. Finally, a day came when the picture was complete and he unveiled the finished painting. The scene was set outside the father's house. It showed the open arms of each as they were just about to meet and embrace. And the man who commissioned the work was well pleased. He was prepared to pay the painter for his work, and he suddenly noticed a detail that he had missed. Standing out in the painting above everything else in the scene was a starkly apparent fact that the father was wearing one red shoe and one blue shoe. And he was incredulous. How could this be that the painter could make such an error? And he asked the painter, and the man simply smiled and said, "Well, yes, it's a beautiful representation of the love that God has for his children." And the man said, "What do you mean?" And the father in the picture, he said, "Well, this, the father in this picture was not interested in being color coordinated or fashion conscious when he went out to meet his son. In fact, he was in such a hurry to show his love to his son that he simply reached and grabbed the nearest two shoes that he could find. He's the God of unmatched shoes." So the scripture passage we're looking at this morning tells a story that we commonly refer to as the parable of the prodigal son. It's probably one of the best known parables in the Bible, and it's probably one of the best loved parables in the Bible. We all love to think about God, our Heavenly Father, lovingly waiting for us to come home. I mean, the story has this beautiful, warm feel to us. But it's also a wonderful story to look at on Father's Day, because today is the day we celebrate the fathers in our lives. And I was thinking about this message today. I thought, we learn a lot from stories. So today, to celebrate our fathers, we're going to look at a story that talks about God, our Heavenly Father. Now, we typically use the words prodigal son to describe the parable. And the word prodigal means one who spends or gives lavishly. So we think of the son in this parable as one who spent his wealth lavishly. But in reality, we probably should refer to this parable as the story of the prodigal father, because it's the father who was lavish in his love for his son. It's a beautiful story of a father and his lavish love for one of his children. And I can think of no better way to celebrate our fathers than to focus on the prodigal, lavish love of God. What a wonderful role model for all of us, fathers and mothers, in our relationships with our children and our families. Now, before we look at the parable, I have a brief video clip that I think will summarize this idea, the prodigal love that God has for each of his children. So Joshua, if you can put that video up.
Do you really think that God is for us?
Do I really think that God is for us? Yeah. I have trouble believing it, and at the same time, I know it. And I think if we had any idea, I mean, I think it's sort of like when you look at your kids. Sometimes I want to say to Henry, like, "You have no freaking idea. I would do anything for you. I would cut open a vein for you. I would lay down a train track for you. I would figure out how to fly for you. Your little brain, your little heart can't even handle how much I love you. Like, it would blow your little baby mind." And I think that's how God feels about us. And having children, I think, really gives you a new understanding of that. Oh my gosh, if God loves us the way I love my kids, it's blowing my mind. It's a game changer. This reshapes everything. And again, I can't always really get the hang of it. I very quickly revert back into, like, kind of mean old dude who needs me to impress him. But every once in a while, when I look at my kids, I think, oh, it's that kind of love? Well, you gotta be kidding me.
Amen, sister.
Thank you.
So let's look at this parable today as a picture of the kind of father we find in our Heavenly Father. And we also want to look at this parable as a picture of the kind of parent, mother or father, that we want to be in our own families as well. So the story looks like this, and it's going to be on the screen. Luke 15, 11, and 12 says this. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, "Father, give me my share of the estate." So he divided his property between them. Now, from what I understand, it was not unknown for a father in those days to distribute his estate while he was still alive. It was sort of a way to retire. But this kind of decision needed to be made by the father. It wasn't something that a family member, and especially the younger son, should demand. So by demanding that his father give him his share of the estate, he was basically wishing his father dead. Not only was that a bad financial idea, it was a terrible way to treat his father. And according to Jewish law in those days, the older son should receive two-thirds of the father's estate because the oldest son was expected to continue the business. So my understanding is that the father gave the younger son his fair share. The father did not withhold part of the estate. Gave the son his fair share coming to him. I think it seems a little generous and almost crazy to me. But what would you expect from the God of unmatched shoes? Then in the next four verses, we read these words. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he'd spent everything, there was a severe famine in the whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Now we need to remember, good Jewish people did not eat pork. Pigs were unclean animals. A good Jewish man would never touch a pig. Now, that's not saying that this son was a good Jewish man, because he'd fallen a long way from being a good Jewish man. But still, feeding pigs and wishing he could eat their food. I don't like pigs very much. I would not enjoy feeding pigs, and I really have no desire to eat their food. So let's look at verse 17. It goes on and it says this. When he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death." And I love the phrase that you see there in red. He came to his senses. Now that's an interesting thought. He came to his senses. Now remember, Jesus is telling this story. And when Jesus gets to this part of the story, he says the man came to his senses. It tells me Jesus saw that man as lost, I mean really lost. And now he all of a sudden, realizes the situation he's in. The story I think of is of myself. Some of you may be people who do jigsaw puzzles, and this may have happened. You know, you're working on your puzzle, and there's a piece, and you cannot find it. And you try every piece, and it's just not there. So you go to lunch, you take a walk, and you come back and look at the puzzle, and it's right there. It's like an aha moment, like, there it is. So this young man had a very similar situation. He had an aha moment, and he decides he's going to go home. He's come to his senses. He's going to go home and tell his father he's willing to be a hired servant. So in verses 18 and 19, we hear this. "I'll set out. I'll go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" Now, in homes those days, well-to-do families had servants. The servants were basically treated as part of the family. But a hired servant is different. A hired servant was a day laborer. It's a man who could be called in to work and then just dismissed at a moment's notice. A regular servant had some standing and some level of respect in the home. The hired servant was nobody. No rights, no respect, no standing. The son didn't even think he was worthy of being a family servant. He was willing to be a hired servant with no rights, no respect, no standing. Think about how far he has fallen. Think about that change in his attitude. At the beginning of this parable, the son demands what he sees is owed to him. He wants his share of the estate. But now he doesn't care at all. At that time, he didn't care at all about his father. He didn't care about the message he gave to his father. But now, the son is willing to be a hired servant, serving at the will of his father, who can dismiss him at a moment's notice. There's a lot happening in this young man's life. But now let's get to the father, because that's a bigger part of the story. As I mentioned earlier, the artist doing the painting saw this father as the father of unmatched shoes. He was so eager to see his son, he didn't even notice what shoes he was wearing. Look at verse 20. He got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him and ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. Now look at these words. While he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Now, here's a question. How did his father see the son when he was a long way off? Because if the father's in the house working in his office at the desk, I don't think he would have seen his son. And if he was watching Netflix or playing games on the computer, I don't think he would have seen his son. And if he was in town hanging out with his retired friends, I don't think he would have seen his son. Now, it doesn't specifically say this, but I am pretty sure that that father was watching for his son. That father probably never took his eyes off the road ever since his son left home. He knew his son. He knew that the moment was going to come when that son was going to come home. And then we're told that the father was filled with compassion. Well, you know, if this were me, I think the father should have been a little angry. I mean, maybe the father should have waited for the son to get all the way back and give him a really good explanation of what he was doing. Maybe let the son sweat it out for a little bit, because I don't know, I like to let people sweat it out sometimes. Even if I know I'm going to forgive them, just let them feel really sorry for what they've done, and then eventually I'll get around to forgiving them. But in this passage, the father's filled with compassion, and he runs to see his son. I mean, he ran. Now, in today's world, running's a good thing. People join fitness clubs. They run on treadmills. They go to the park or the local high school track and run. But in the days of Jesus, dignified people did not run. At the beginning of this verse, we see the words for the son. It says the son got up and went to his father. Now, there's nothing in that phrase implying running. The son is not running home. He's probably walking very slowly. He knew what he had done. He thought he knew what was ahead of him. He was going home, but not in a big hurry. He was going home slowly, one step at a time, trying to get up the courage to face his father. But then comes the father in a full run. I mean, this father, he's an older man, a dignified man, in a full run. I mean, that would have been a sight to see. It says he ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. I mean, he didn't even take time to put on matching shoes. I wonder what was going through the son's mind when his father came running and when the father grabbed him in that big fatherly bear hug and kissed him. And then in the next few verses we're told, the son said to him, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." Now, we know here that the son's trying to apologize and explain why he came home, but the father is going to give him no opportunity to explain. Now, I, as I said, would have been happy to let him just take his time and explain this, what he was doing. Father had no time for explanation, no explanation needed. Because in verse 22, we read this. But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet." There's a lot of meaning in those actions that you see there. A robe shows a way of honor to a person. Servants did not need robes. Dignified, honorable people wear robes. The ring, it's authority. It's like giving someone your ring is like giving them the power of attorney. Imagine giving a ring that reflects authority to the son who basically wished you dead. And then shoes, sandals. Shoes were for a son. Servants and slaves did not wear shoes. Family members wore shoes. And of course, in this case, we're thinking of the father running out in his unmatched shoes, but he was at least wearing shoes. In verse 23 and 24, the father says this, "Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. So they begin to celebrate and the party begins. But of course, we know the rest of the story. In comes the older son. I think we might feel sorry for the older son. He's been working at home while his brother was away living a wild lifestyle. So I'm going to skip down to verses 29 and 30. And the older brother says this. He says, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. And when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. Now the son shares some interesting thoughts here in these few sentences. So look at this. He says he's been slaving for his father. So it doesn't sound like the son's found any joy in the work he's doing. And he says, I never disobeyed your orders. Okay, so he's telling his father that he feels like a slave and his father's been giving him orders. Okay, nice attitude. And then he refers to his brother as this son of yours. I don't think this brother is very happy with his other brother. And then we get to the final verses, and we see the father trying to tell the son why he should be happy. He says, my son, you're always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad, because this brother of yours was dead, and he's alive again. He was lost, and he is found. You know, the father loves both his sons. He loves both his sons dearly. But he has to handle his relationship with these sons in vastly different ways. And I think those of you who are parents will tell me the same things. You love your children, but you have to handle them in very different ways. And we know that the younger son made a really big mistake. He hurt his father, he wasted valuable resources, and he wasted a portion of his life in riotous living. But in the words of Jesus, he came to his senses. He realized he was a sinner. He came to his senses. He was lost and truly not himself, but he came to his senses. He's now back to being who he was created to be, and he is forgiven. Now, that older son, yes, what do we do with the older son? If this is the way the story ends, then really the brother, this other brother hasn't found himself. He's not the person God created him to be, and he's not yet come to his senses. And this is interesting. Because we don't know how the story ends. This parable is unique in the Bible because there is no ending. We know that the father did all he could to show love to his older brother, to the older son. But we don't know how this older son finally responded to the love. Because this is the end of the parable. So today is Father's Day. It's a day when we celebrate our fathers and those who play the role of fathers in our lives. And when Jesus shared this parable, he was showing us the love that our heavenly Father has for all of his children. So in that opening story that I shared, we see the father of the prodigal son running out to the son in unmatched shoes. He loved his son so much that he didn't care how he was dressed. He only wanted to go out and meet his son who was coming home. Now, friends, that is how a godly father loves his family. And that's how much our heavenly Father loves us. So as we close the message today, I want to remind each of us that we have to be reminded of just how much God loves each of us. He sent his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. We have a wonderful, loving heavenly Father. And he loves us so much, he'll run out to meet us with unmatched shoes. And I also want to remind us, especially the fathers among us, that we're called to model that same kind of love in our relationships in our family. God loves us, and we're called in the same way to reflect that same kind of love to our families. When we love those in our families in the same way that God loves us, we may also find ourselves racing out to meet those we love wearing unmatched shoes. So would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather here today. We thank you for Father's Day when we celebrate our fathers. And we thank you for the reminder of who you are as the Father who loves us. And we just thank you for your love and your care in our lives. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.